Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
You say that so nice, like this, like it's almost like a sweet tone when you do that.
It is. It's a hermitage. It's supposed to be peaceful.
Okay, because you're like talking like about a garden with flowers and stuff. That's good. Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this crazy life that we live in.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those episodes. So pray for us.
So today I wanted to talk about the question or deal with, is there a wrong way to pray? And I think, so we have a special guest on the show today.
We do.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, no, I hope.
Well, listen, this particular guest invented prayer.
Okay.
Knows everything about prayer.
Okay.
Is the perfect prayer, and his name is
Jesus.
Okay. So the inspiration for this came this morning when I was just thinking about the show and I was musing on something that happened to me quite a while ago when I was head of the National Catholic Register, and I had written an article on prayer. And I made the claim that there are wrong ways to pray. And wow, somebody got mad at me. How dare you say there's a wrong way to pray? We all pray in our own way. Okay. You know, just this rant. And I thought, wow, have you ever read the words of the one you claim is your God? Because he said there were wrong ways to pray.
Mm.
And so don't let that close, by the way. I don't know.
It's perfect. It's
exactly but as a Catholic, you might not be able to find your way back to the verse.
I'm not that bad.
Okay. You know. So we're going to actually look at what Jesus said about ways to pray that he said were wrong. And we're going to add a few more of our own in terms of how to cultivate a healthy prayer life. It's sort of a how not to do it reveals how to do it.
Okay, so you want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you start?
So I'll be reading from Matthew 6, I'll start with verse 5.
Yeah.
And then Beloved will interject as he needs to.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, here you go.
I'm good at that.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men.
Yeah.
Sorry. Truly. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first way not to pray.
Don't be a hypocrite.
Well, that's not it. It's more of, cause he's already identified this class of people who are externally they're pious, but internally they're vacuous.
Yeah.
And so they have all the right, you know, external comportment.
But they're inside their whitewashed tombs.
That's what he said. And so he's saying, he's just reminding them, don't pray like they do, because they pray to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real issue. I mean, that they're hypocrites was established previously. It's to be seen. So a wrong way to pray is a prayer to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've seen that before. I don't want to give examples to cause any harm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known people who position themselves in public places, you know, and it comes off really odd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to, I don't know, demonstrate your piety or whatever to somebody else, or they act very strange when they pray. Maybe sometimes it's well-intended. We can't judge the heart, but that's one. That's the easy, probably the simplest one.
Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind is the two men in the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
One is at the front saying, you know, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this person and this person and this person.
Yeah.
And the other person is very lowly and humble. Now that's from the heart.
Yeah.
And he's not, we don't know if there's other people around.
Yeah. I don't remember the location, but you're right.
Yeah. I don't know if there's other people around that he's positioning himself, but certainly the disposition of his heart and his mind is one of, you know, I'm here. This is your lucky day, Lord.
Yeah.
I've come to pray. Thank you for making me incredible.
And I'm not like that. Thank you. I'm not like that loser.
Right. The penitent back there.
And the humble,
who is so humble and turned in as small, as Therese would talk about being very, very small and saying, forgive me, Lord,
for I'm a sinner, which is where we get the Jesus prayer from.
Yeah.
Inspired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Jesus praised the one who was humble and condemned the one who was proud. So don't be proud. Don't be vain in your prayers. Those are ways you shouldn't pray.
Okay. Let me keep going.
Yeah. And then we're going to get to the meat of what I wanted to talk about.
Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Yeah. Okay? So there's several dimensions of this admonition. He's saying, in terms of the deepest kind of prayer, which we call mental prayer, the church calls mental prayer, contemplation, which is a kind of mental prayer, it's to be done in private. Mm-hmm. It's not something to be done in public. It's interesting. I just had this memory of, we were at some event, a healing event, and there were, where a priest was, it had a healing mass or something, and there were people standing in the front, kind of doing some really strange movements. And he told them to stop. And if they wanted to do that, go in the back.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I don't remember that.
Maybe you were one of them. I don't remember.
I may have been. Who knows?
But the point being, they were being distracting. But
yeah.
So the Lord tells us we ought to go into a room, close the door. Our intimacy with the Lord is not to be put on display for the sake of our virtue signaling or whatever.
And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do.
Okay, this is a big one. Did you finish that sentence?
No. For they think they will be heard for their many words.
Right.
Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
This is a huge, huge, huge. This is the biggest error. It's violated the most in the last, 20, 30 years in the church, up to recently, new work. Mm-hmm. And that is that, and the word Gentiles can be translated pagans. And it's translated another. It's just a Greek word that means not of the chosen people, mm-hmm. essentially. He's saying, don't pray like them. Where is that violated? It's violated in centering prayer, which comes from transcendental meditation, which comes from non-Christian Eastern spirituality. Just to give people a little bit of a pass, not everybody who calls what they do centering prayer is actually praying the Buddhist derivative of centering prayer, where mm-hmm. you're sitting, and repeating a sacred word and you have an intention. That's all Buddhist nonsense.
And before anybody panics right now,
yeah,
do you have a resource where they can check themselves to make sure that their prayer is actually Christocentric?
Yeah, there's a book by a good friend of mine named Connie Rossini. I was just texting with her this morning. It's entitled, Is Centering Prayer Catholic? Mm-hmm. The foreword is by the co-founder of the Abel Institute with me, Dr. Anthony Lillis. And it is a rock solid treatment, fair treatment. And then she even deals with a response from objections to her work. Mm-hmm. And she just absolutely knocked it out of the park. Is Centering Prayer Catholic? It's an extraordinary work. Mm-hmm. But so that kind of prayer is not just not prayer, it's dangerous mm-hmm. prayer, because you're opening up your mind. In counter distinction to non-Christian Eastern prayer, the approach of authentic Christian prayer is to fill your heart and mind with God, not to empty your mind. Mm-hmm. There is a natural progression of prayer that does result in a simpler way of praying, but that cannot be mechanically attained. Mm-hmm. And if you try to do that, you're warned against very aggressively by the doctors of the church, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross.
Well, if you create that vacuum, if you are practicing that and emptying your mind, you create a vacuum, something's going to fill it.
Yeah.
And it may not be what you want.
Right.
I have seen people who have practiced these types of things. I warned against it years ago when I was a principal of a Catholic school out of state, and literally watched this husband continue to insist on praying this while his wife sat by helplessly watching it happen. And he literally went.
He slipped full on into non-Christian.
He did. And he lost
the church.
He left his church. He left his family. He left his wife. And all thinking that he was doing great.
You know, the fruit of this, which is what you're addressing, is I have never met someone. Well, I'll say it a different way. I've met many people who practice centering prayer. And I mean, in the mm-hmm. the way that Contemplative Outreach or Father Keating or Father Menninger, those men teach, God rest Father Keating's soul. And every time you question centering prayer, they tell you it's helped them and brought them to peace. As they're vibrating and getting angry at you, mm-hmm. I watched a woman get nose to nose with you,
yes,
in public, and you had said nothing to her but, hey, you might be interested in this book. She looked at the title, realized it probably wasn't positive, and got very angry.
She threw the book at me, actually.
She
in public.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought, well, I think we might have hit a nerve.
Right.
You know, and I was doing nothing but loving her.
Yeah.
It's
deceptive junk.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't lead you to God. It leads you into a state of sometimes altered consciousness. And by the way, the church has formally spoken against this in a letter from Cardinal Ratzinger when he was head of the Doctrine of the Faith under Pope John Paul II, in a letter that was entitled, A Letter to All the Bishops of the Church on Some Aspects of Christian Meditation. And he specifically deals with this mass. And we're out of time for this segment. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about another counterfeit form of prayer called mindfulness. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I want to tell you guys, if you want to know authentic Catholic prayer,
beautiful, authentic prayer in an amazing way. This is an amazing opportunity.
We have a new study coming up for you that will be free for everyone who signs up at spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. It begins on April 25th at 8 a.m. Central. That's Saturday, April 25th.
They are recorded if you can't attend live.
Yep. But you got to sign up at spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. It'll be on Remain in Me, one of the best books written in the last 100 years on prayer by Father Wayne Sattler. So when we get back from the break, more on problematic approaches to prayer.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, really excited. I've always wanted to offer liturgical studies at the Avila Institute, but not just liturgy in some dry sense, but liturgy that comes out of Catholic mystical tradition. It comes out of authentic prayer. It's a four-course series presented by, in partnership with Adoramus, which is a great liturgical publication, headed up by Christopher Carstens and the Avila Institute. And through these courses, you'll explore how the Trinity's work in the liturgy is made present, learn about the church's system of sacramental economy, delve into the life-changing encounter that we are invited to have with Jesus in the Eucharist, all of that. Please check it out at avila-institute.org. And the next course in the series starts on May 7th. Apply now. Dan and Stephanie Burke, welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about the wrong ways to pray, or problematic ways to pray, or even prayers, ways to pray that can lead you into the realm of the demonic. And before the break, we talked about centering prayer. Before we jump back in, though, I want to remind people, Jesus said, do not pray the way pagans pray.
Yes.
I don't know what is more clear and why we would ever go to Buddha to find Jesus, but it's a constant demonic obsession. The next one that is has doing that is more modern. Centering prayer was more 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, but it's still very much around. The next one is mindfulness. And that, it what's so crazy is that, you know, there's a big Catholic, there's a book that sells well about this, and it's based it's based on the work of Jon Kabat-Zinn, who brought who was at a retreat, a Buddhist retreat, and was visited by a demon who told him, hide the fact that this is Buddhist and present it to the West. And so he did. And so a bunch of people picked it up. I don't know why, but psychologists, we have wonderful psychologists in our community, very faithful Catholics, but psychologists who don't have spiritual grounding are always picking up this kind of nonsense.
You do not need Buddha to get to Jesus,
heaven. A lot of people seem to think you do.
You do not need Buddha to find peace. Right. You do not need Buddha to find healing.
Right. So mindfulness is part of the Eightfold Path of Buddha. And it's claimed, you know, that, oh, well, we can baptize this teaching or whatever. And it's just not true. I mentioned before the break, Connie Russini was written his Centering Prayer Catholic. And Susan Brinkman, I asked them to investigate it, to take the courses and to come back out and say, okay, is this even possible to be Catholic?
They went like behind the screen.
Right.
They went and took the courses.
Yeah.
That were offered by people who were offering mindfulness, centering prayer, etc.
Yeah,
And they entered in to study it as a non, as quote unquote a non-Catholic,
yeah,
to see what was actually being taught, and then they wrote about it as to what is true.
And what was being reported was Catholic mindfulness was what the courses they took, and they came out and just said, and both of these women are Carmelites. One's an investigative reporter. Connie is an impeccable researcher, very knows her theology very well. And they both came out and said, Dan, this is not good for the church. And so
good for the soul.
I asked Susan Brinkman to write a book about it. And she wrote the book, A Catholic Guide to Mindfulness, which we have here. I think it's now available through Sophia Institute Press. And this book was written by Dr. Anthony Clark, and Dr. Clark is an expert. I mean, he speaks Chinese fluently, but he's an American, and he is a priest now. And when he wrote this book, I don't think he was a priest,
wow,
but he checked it out and said it was good, and she reviews the research on it, which is just shown that it's just a bunch of hooey. Now, I will say this, what's interesting about it is it does help people, in quotes, just like centering prayer helps people. What it does is, but it's like putting a band-aid on a cancerous sore. It does, and that's what's so deceptive about these things. Yoga is another one,
right?
Is when people practice it, it gives them some temporal release or whatever.
Yeah.
Why does
or
that...
physiological kind of sense of, oh, okay, I'm better. It helps them deal with the anxiety.
Yeah.
The stuff that's right under the surface that they
temporarily
that they can't seem to get past. And so any breath of fresh air when you're drowning,
yeah,
feels like it's the answer. Right.
And why does it work? I believe it works because it's demonic. But here's the thing. So there's a demonic power behind it when you enter into these non-Christian Eastern religious practices that the scripture, by the way, reports are sourced in the demonic. And there have been some confusing statements in the church, you know, a while ago about God willing all of these religions in a positive sense. And that's a grave error. But that's a little bit of why people do this. Nostra Aetate, which is one of the documents out of the Second Vatican Council on non-Christian religion, says that we should recognize what we see in other religions that are true, and truth being as defined by the Catholic Church, we should recognize the truth, but that they're only a reflection of a ray. Mm-hmm. That's the exact wording that Nostra Aetate means. So it's not even a part of the substance, but merely a reflection. And the ray, of course, is the source, which, and then it goes on to say, it quote or reference the passage in John where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father through me. Mm-hmm. Most exclusive statement. These are often ignored by people who quote the part of Nostra Aetate that says we should learn what's true. No fool reading that, I should say it differently. No one reading that document who's actually trying to learn the truth, mm-hmm, can read it and come to the conclusion they should go to other religions to learn how to pray. Yes. If they quote that document, they're doing it deceptively, especially if they have seminary degrees and whatever, which people like Richard Rohr do quote, mm-hmm, that document and justify. And it's deceptive. It's, mm-hmm, really, it's really demonic. But back to the issue you were saying about it works, it's temporary and it masks symptoms. Now, you know, if you stripped away everything away, like all the religious things, and you said, well, is it bad to, when you're struggling, take a deep breath? No, it isn't bad. Is it bad to notice your environment? No, it isn't bad. Because those things can help bring you out of this mindset that's problematic. But it, those things by themselves, decoupled from relationship with the living God, mm-hmm, or even falsely coupled by promoting a Buddhist, you know, idea, can create a mixture that the church calls syncretism, which is a kind of
all religions are the same,
or they, you can join them together, and, mm-hmm, and being in or indifferentism,
which has a demonic root. Syncretism is demonic.
It is. Yeah. It's interesting. Do you want to speak to that experience you had about that, or is that too private?
It's pretty sensational. I probably shouldn't.
Okay.
Suffice it to say that I have seen people delivered from a spirit of syncretism, and it is not a minor thing.
Yeah.
It is a major demonic spirit that we cannot just embrace everything. There is only one way.
Yeah.
To get to heaven, there's only one way to the Father.
Yeah.
It is our Lord Jesus, and yeah, he is the way, the truth, and the life.
The other thing I've argued about this is somebody might say, well, it helped me. Just using the term mindfulness in a Catholic context, so when somebody goes and searches for it, mm-hmm, they're going to find, they're not going to get a list of Catholic resources, Catholic saints, or whatever. They're going to get a list of Buddhist resources. Mm-hmm. So when you dabble in junk like this, you draw people into non-Christian religions. When you use their language, you draw them into non-Christian religions.
And it's often highly enmeshed with witchcraft, occultism, all kinds of different things. We can go into a long list of crystals, smudging, you know, all kinds, yeah, of things that are used, so that get all mixed in with mindfulness. It is dangerous.
So yeah, if you want to check out a great resource on this, endorsed by Father Wade Meneses of EWTN, Carl Olson of Catholic World Report, who has written on Buddhism, A Catholic Guide to Mindfulness. You can find that at Sophia Institute Press, mm-hmm, spiritualdirection.com shop. I think you can find it out there too. But read that to get the more in-depth treatment. We're just covering this at a very high level. So I don't know. Take a look at that scripture passage. Is there any other things?
Well,
that
we
he
can
said?
End with what he says to do.
Yeah, we can. But before we do that, he does speak to what Protestants accuse Catholics of doing, interestingly enough, is vain repetition. Mm. But we don't do vain repetition. It isn't vain repetition to repeat the words of Jesus. It's vain repetition to speak in multitudes of words, as the Gentiles used to teach, mm-hmm, in their formulas, to draw God into some action.
Right. And also with the rosary, it's not vain repetition, because we are meditating on the life of Christ,
right,
on the different mysteries of his life. It should draw our heart and mind deeper into the Trinity and to him.
Yeah.
It's not vain repetition.
It's interesting, in Matthew 22, I think it is, I don't have the exact verse, but Jesus is praying in the garden and he's struggling. And it says he goes back to pray in the same way. So it's like you have Jesus repeating prayers. Mm-hmm. We just had a section of reading in our mass readings recently where you have this repetition in the Psalms is love endures forever, is love endures mm-hmm. forever. Or maybe it was Liturgy of the Hours. I can't remember which.
It was Liturgy of the Hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so scripture is filled with repetitive prayers mm-hmm. and repeating the thing over and over, but it's different when you're repeating them to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God himself, than when you're repeating them to some ethereal, I'm open to
whatever. Yeah. So in the end, we really want to encourage people to come to this beautiful book study that we're going to be studying. If you want to know, how do I keep myself safe? How do I really become one? How do I relate to God as a person and not an idea? We have a great opportunity for you. Go to spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. And on April 25th of this year,
yep.
So it's 2026, we're going to become, you and I are going to be teaching through Remain in Me and I in You, Relating to God as a Person, Not an Idea, an amazing book by Father Wayne Sadler.
And where can they find the book?
They can find it at spiritualdirection.com/shop. And it's an extraordinary book on actually how to pray, how to relate to the Lord, how to open yourself to all that God wants to give you, to be filled with him and to be one with him.
So pick up the book now, spiritualdirection.com, and you can just go to the website and click the shop button and you'll see all the books that I've written.
You'll see all the events that we do. You will see this opportunity for prayer and learning about how to relate to God as a person. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable, at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.